أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. For your own health, let's have a salawat. Second one for the health and long life of the Maraja. And the third one, inshallah, the loudest, for the coming and the return of our 12th Imam, Ajallallahu Ta'ala Farajal Shaykh. Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. First of all, I'd like to apologize for last night, and I'm not sure how better this is going to get tonight. Jet lag kind of kicks in, so I get a little tired at this time of day. And also, my voice isn't very loud anyway, so I got some comments saying that they thought I was falling asleep on the minbar. Can't help that too much. And this mic, of course, isn't helping too much either. Anyhow, have another salawat, please. We're going to discuss the lessons that we can learn from the events of Karbala. For this day and age, for us, that we are awaiting the coming and the return of our 12th Imam, Jalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. I think before I get into what I had prepared, it seems like these two events have been tied together. The remembrance of the Imam and the preparation for the coming of the 12th Imam. We just recited Ziyarat Ashura. Twice in that Ziyarat, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be part of the movement of the Imam that will be taking revenge from the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt, okay, the coming of the 12th Imam. So inshallah, hope that we can take these lessons and benefit so we can be on that army, inshallah. Now, in order to see what lessons we can learn from Karbala for the coming of the 12th Imam, first, I think it's necessary for us to try to see if we can figure out what type of a movement the return of our Prophet Muhammad is going to be. If we don't know what that movement is going to be like, then how in the world are we going to know how to prepare for that? Isn't that right? We gotta know what we have to prepare for. If you don't know what exam you're gonna have to prepare for, they just tell you on Saturday you have an exam, you don't know what to prepare for. You have to know what you want to be preparing for. So first we have to see if we can understand, if there's any way for us to know at this point what type of a movement is going to be, so we can prepare for that. There's different explanations you hear about the coming of the 12th Imam. Some people narrate these very violent accounts of the Imam coming, and they say his horse is going to be in blood, like it's going to be walking in blood up to, I don't know, all the legs of the horse are going to be down in blood. That's how bad some of them explain. Is that how it's going to be? Should we be preparing, learning martial arts and you know, stuff like that to prepare for the coming of the 12th Imam? Sayyid Salawati. I think it's important to do that for a few different reasons. One of them is this point that I'm trying to explain, the lessons to learn from Karbala. It's necessary for us to learn what the Imam's movement is going to be like, but there's other benefits too, inshallah. I'll point out some of those benefits in this discussion, and I'll try to explain it a little more in depth as much as I can, as much as the time allows. But it's important that we do that. In the past, there have been people that had prepared for the coming of someone that they had been promised, but because they didn't know how it was going to happen and they had these assumptions about that, they didn't prepare themselves properly, and they ended up not helping the cause but causing a problem for the cause. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised the previous nations, the nation of Prophet Musa and Prophet Isa salamullah alayhima, that there will be a prophet that will come, and his name is Ahmad. He was described in those books. We know that some of the Jewish tribes, because of that promise, and because of their love apparently, to see the prophet and to become his followers, they actually moved out of where they were used to living in. They moved to Medina. Medina's weather is not very good compared to where they were coming from. They moved out there. They moved with their families. They took all the dangers of doing so. Why? Because they wanted to be with the Prophet. They were told that the Prophet would be coming to that city. That's why they came around there. They didn't come to Mecca. They knew the Prophet was going to be born in Mecca, but they didn't go to Mecca. They went to Medina because they knew that that's where his base is going to be. Isn't that preparation? What happened that when the Prophet came, they became his enemies? The majority of them were, they became the worst problem of the Prophet. During the battles, they would go and start helping the enemy. They had promised the Prophet that they weren't. They promised the Prophet that they would be in peace, they would not help their enemies. But then, when the battle came and it started, they started helping the enemy. What happened? They were preparing. It's been narrated that one of the problems they had with the Prophet was like, they said this, they said, we thought you're going to be from one of our tribes, from Bani Israel. You're not from Bani Israel, you're from Bani Ismail. You know, Israel is the other name of Prophet Jacob, Yaqub, okay, who was the son of Ishaq. Prophet Ibrahim had two sons, Ishaq and Ismail, okay. Our Prophet is from the children of Ismail. Bani Israel are the children of Yaqub, who is the child or the son of Ishaq. So they said, we thought you're going to be one of us. So they were trying to prepare. They didn't know what it was going to be like. They didn't prepare themselves properly. They thought it's going to be one of them. That caused a problem for them. They couldn't accept that, and they started causing problems for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah. So we have to know what this movement is going to be like. So when the imam comes, if he turns out and he starts doing something that we, you know, it wasn't expected by us, we don't start saying that, we thought it's going to be different. We thought we're going to be getting all these positions and what have you. Or we thought it's going to be like this. We thought you're going to be killing all the kuffar. We thought you're going to be doing this or that. Let's try to see if we can know what that movement is going to be like. Now, to know anything in Islam, we only have three sources to know. Okay? We only have three sources to know anything about Islam. Three sources are the Holy Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Sunnah, the tradition of the Prophet and his progeny, the Ahlul Bayt, and lastly, the intellect. And you probably have heard of four, and they talk about Ijma. I don't want to get into that and why I'm not mentioning that as one of the sources. Anyhow, so I'm going to try to use the three of these to come up with a conclusion as to what the movement of the 12th Imam is going to be like, so we can prepare ourselves for that, inshallah. Inshallah, salam alaikum. Now, you can't find anywhere in the Holy Quran that it will explain what it will be like when the Imam comes. But because the movement of the Imam is in line with the movement of all prophets, okay, this is the same thing, okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created human beings and he set prophets and imams for their guidance. The movement started with the first human being on earth, Adam, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alihi salam. So by gathering a general idea of what the movements of the prophets were, that's going to help us understand what the movements of the imam is going to be like. So I'm going over all the stories that have been mentioned in the Holy Quran about this. So I've picked a few. As we know, we have five prophets that are considered ulul azm. Okay, they brought new laws or sharia's. Prophet Nuh, Prophet Ibrahim, Moses, Prophet Jesus, and our Prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they played major roles in this movement of guiding people, inshallah, I'll be going over their movements, what's been mentioned in the Holy Quran, and then I will get to the movement of the Holy Prophet, excuse more, the hadith that we have in history, and get to some of the movements of the imams. And at the end, there are some hadith about the coming of the 12th Imam. There's a little bit of a controversy or a little bit of a difference that you can find in the hadith that have been narrated about the coming of the 12th Imam. So we're going to have to figure out what we're going to do over there. Anyhow, inshallah, salawat, please. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 59, starts talking about the Prophet Nuh and his story. Says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لقد أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه فقال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره إني أخاف عليكم عذاب يوم عظيم. So we sent Noah to his tribe. He said to them, worship Allah, verily there is no Lord, there is no God but Him. And I fear for you the severe punishment of the Day of Judgment. Talking about the message that all prophets brought. The first message which everything else revolves around, is the message of Tawheed. So first he says, accept. He tells his people. Their reply is this: قال الملأ من قومه إنا لنراك في ضلال مبين. They said, we think you're misguided. You're teaching us the wrong path. قال يا قوم ليس بي ضلالة ولكني رسول من رب العالمين. Says, no, I don't have any misleadings. I'm not on the wrong path. I'm not deviating. I'm not causing any deviation. I've been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أبلغكم رسالات ربي وأنصح لكم وأعلم من الله ما لا تعلمون. I'm just giving you what your Lord has said. And I'm advising you to follow. And I know from your Lord things that you don't know. I've been told stuff. I'm a prophet. The angels have come to me. They've told me things that you don't know. So I'm just telling you those things. I'm not giving you anything from myself. This is one of the accusations that they would accuse the prophets generally. And say, this is from you, this is not from God. God once sent you, and follows. And that's what the Prophet says. Prophet Nuh says, أَوَعَجِبْتُمْ أَنْ جَاءَكُمْ ذِكْرٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِّنْكُمْ. There's two things that they had problems with when prophets came. One is, why is it a man? Why is it a human being? If God wants to send a message, send a message. Why doesn't he send it through angels? Okay. So the Prophet says, is it weird for you that a man brings the message of Allah to you? That's number one. And the second one is, رَجُلُ مِنْكُمْ, that is one of you. You can't say that one of you, that you didn't consider, you didn't have, you didn't regard them very highly, that they get this special position of being the messenger of Allah, and you don't get that. That was really tough for them to take. So he says, is it weird for you that a person, an individual, a human being from one of yourselves has been sent by Allah to tell you about the punishment that will be there in the hereafter? So فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ فِي الْفُلْكِ وَأَغْرَقْنَا الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَوْمًا عَنِينَ. In this part, in this surah, it's mentioned very briefly. It says, so the Prophet replied to them in this way, and they rejected it. فَكَذَّبُوهُ. They said, no, you're lying. You're not the messenger of Allah. These aren't the signs of Allah. They rejected. فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ فِي الْفُلْكِ. We saved him and the people that were with him, and we drowned those who disbelieved and rejected our sign. Recite salawat, please. Second one, please. Second place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story is in Surah Hud, verses 25 to 43. I'm not going to repeat the sections that are the same part of the story is mentioned. In this part, it explains more how the Prophet of Allah, how Nuh was explaining his message to the people, how his attitude towards the people was. After the people, his people rejecting his call, this verse 28 of Surah Hud says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قال يا قوم أرأيتم إن كنت على بينة من ربي وآتاني رحمة من عنده فعميت عليكم أن يلزمكموها وأنتم لها كارهون. زي الوقت he starts talking to the people and explains to them. He says in next verse, وَيَا قَوْمِ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مَالًا. Don't think that I'm here to say I'm the messenger of God so that I can get money from you. No, I'm not asking you for anything. God's going to give you rewards. Okay, I'm here just to warn you of what's going to be coming in the hereafter. فَمَا أَنَا بِصَارِبِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَلَكِنِّي أَرَاكُمْ قَوْمًا تَجْهَلُونَ. And goes on, وَيَا قَوْمِ مَنْ يَنْصُرُنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ إِنْ فَرَدْتُمْ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. He explains, he says, وَلَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي خَزَائِنُ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ. I don't say that I have the treasures of Allah with me. I have the keys to the treasures of Allah and that I can give whatever I want from His treasures. And I'm not saying that I'm an angel. If I were saying that, then I would be an oppressor. And he is under me, not bothering me. Then they say this. Let me mention this as well. In another verse in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says 950 years. Okay. Prophet Nuh preached to his people before the punishment of Allah came. 950 years. Now in these verses, it only talks about some of these sayings, some of the conversations between the Prophet of Allah, Prophet Nuh, and the people. It summarizes it. Says they said something and the Prophet said this, and then at the end it says this. قالوا يا نوح قد جادلتنا فأكثرت جدالنا فأتنا بما تعدنا إن كنت من الصادقين. You've argued with us and you've done that a lot. If you're really the prophet of Allah, then bring the punishment that you're talking about. They're saying if you don't accept, you'll be punished. Allah is going to be punishing you, this and that. So if you are the prophet, then why don't you ask your God to send his punishment? Okay. After 950 years, the punishment comes. The Prophet doesn't give up there. First he says, قَالَ إِنَّمَا يَأْتِيكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ إِنْ شَاءَ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ. Says Allah will bring the punishment whenever He wills. Okay, I'm not the one who's going to give you the punishment. وَلَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ نُصْحِي إِنْ أَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَنْفَحَ لَكُمْ إِنْ كَانَ اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يُغْوِيَكُمْ. At this point, then, if you guys decide that you don't want to be guided, and Allah, because of you not wanting to be guided, okay, decides that, okay, you're not going to be guided, then it doesn't matter how much I talk, how much I advise you to follow the right path, it's not going to work. So he basically gave up, and the punishment of Allah came. The approach of the Prophet with the people is first he gives them the message. He explains. He constantly tries to guide them. Then they ask for the punishment. They said, if you're really the Prophet of Allah, we're not going to accept your punishment. And even at that point, he says, you know, I'm trying to help you. So this is about Prophet Nuh. Prophet Ibrahim, besides Salawat, please. In Surah Anbiya, verses 51-71, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is one of the places that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the story of Ibrahim. Each of the prophets of Allah, the main prophets, they have a number of places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about their stories in the Holy Quran. One of the places that it talks about Prophet Ibrahim's story is this. It says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَكُنَّا بِهِ عَالِمِينَ إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَا هَذِهِ التَّمَاثِيلُ الَّتِي أَنْتُمْ لَهَا عَاكِفُونَ He comes to the people, again he starts explaining to them. He starts discussing the issue with them about belief in God with reason. He doesn't tell them that you have to believe this or else you're going to be punished. Prophet Nuh didn't say that either. They start explaining to them. He says to them, "Qala li abih." Now, one side note. As you know, we believe that the Prophet, his father, grandfather, great-grandfather, all the way to Adam, they were never mushrik. Did you know that? Had you heard about this belief that we have? They say that we believe the parents of the Prophet, the father, okay, of the Prophet and his father and his father and his father, all the way to Adam, were never mushrik. They always believed in one God. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ibrahim addressed his father, إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَا هَذِهِ التَّمَاثِيلُ الَّتِي أَنْتُمْ لَهَا عَاكِفُونَ He told his father and his tribe that what are these shapes that you've made and that you go around them and you worship them. Seems like his father is not believing in God. The explanation about this issue is that this is not actually his father, it's his uncle. Okay. It's his uncle that because of his close relation with the Prophet, he used to call him father. Anyhow, so he explains, he argues with him, he discusses the issue logically. He says, what are these things that you made with your own hands, these shapes that you've made, and you go around them and worship them? قَالُوا وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا لَهَا عَبِدِينَ A common answer that people would give to the prophets that were around them, that we saw our parents, they used to worship these, so we started worshiping these. قَالَ لَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ Said, you and your fathers are all misguided. قَالُوا أَجِئْتَنَا بِالْحَقِّ أَمْ أَنْتَ مِنَ اللَّاعِبِينَ They said, are you trying to bring us the truth or are you just playing around and you're trying to make fun of what we believe in? The Prophet says, قَالَ بَلْ رَبُّكُمْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الَّذِي فَطَرَهُنَّ وَأَنَا عَلَى ذَلِكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ That, no. I'm not trying to play around. I'm trying to tell you what the truth is. The truth is that your Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. The one who created them. وَأَنَا عَلَىٰ ذَلِكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ And I bear witness to that. That He is the Creator and He is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. فَتَاللَّهِ لَأَكِدَنَّ أَصْنَامَكُمْ بَعْدَ أَن تُوَلُّوا مُدْبِرِينَ And then he talks about their after discussing it with them reasonably and explaining to them that this doesn't make sense. Okay, you make something with your own hands, you create something, okay, you shape a stone into a figure and then you start worshipping it. That doesn't make sense. Now they didn't want to accept it, so what he said is, okay, I'll teach them a lesson. He says, I will do something to your God. فَجَعَلَهُمْ جُزَادًا إِلَّا كَبِيرَهُمْ When they left the city in that day, on that day they'd gone to the outside of the city, to do their little ceremony they had. So the Prophet went into the worship place that they had with all the idols, and he broke all of them except the big one, and he put the axe on that big one. لَعَلَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that they may come to the big one and see, you know, the way it is. قَالُوا مَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, they said that who has done this to our gods, he is an oppressor. The others said, قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتًا يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, we heard someone was talking about him, a young person, فَتًا يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, he was called Ibrahim. قَالُوا فَأْتُوا بِهِ عَلَىٰ أَعْيُنِ النَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْهَدُونَ, they said to bring him in a way that everyone sees, okay, that he, the way he's being brought and the way he's treated for disrespecting the gods. قَالُوا أَأَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ, he said, did you do this to our gods? He said, قَالَ بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ إِنْ كَانُوا يَنْفِقُونَ, said, seems like the big one has done it. Why don't you ask them if they can speak? فَرَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ فَقَالُوا إِنَّكُمْ أَنْتُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ, okay, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking on behalf of the people, the tribe of Prophet Ibrahim. Okay, he said that they looked at themselves and they said, إِنَّكُمْ أَنْتُمُ الظَّالِمُ, you are yourselves, you are the oppressors. Okay. So they realize what the truth is. Okay. They realize what the truth is, and then they did what they did. ثُمَّ نُكِسُوا عَلَىٰ رُؤُوسِهِمْ فَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا هَؤُلَاءِ يَنْتَقُونَ, then they, you know, they changed their expression and they looked back at him and said that, you know, they can't speak. قَالَ فَتَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَضُرُّكُمْ, so why are you guys worshipping something other than Allah that can't help you or harm you? That doesn't make sense. أُفٍّ لَكُمْ وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, they said, قَالُوا حَرِّقُوهُ وَانْصُرُوا آلِهَتَكُمْ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ, they said, burn him, set up a fire and burn him and help your gods. So they did, and we know the rest of the story, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, we told the fire to cool off on Ibrahim, he was thrown in, but it didn't burn him. So what they did was they exiled him, they sent him out, and he went to Jerusalem, in that area. Another place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about his story is Surah An'am verses 75 through 79. Say Salawat, please. Talked about the way he argued with the non-believers. Verse 76, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فلما جن عليه الليل راى كوكبا قال هذا ربي, when night came he saw a star, okay, he was around the star worshippers, and he said, this is my Lord. Okay. He didn't believe in that, okay, he was just telling, okay, whatever you guys say, this is the Lord. فلما أفل قال لا أحب الآفلين, when it died out, when the star could not be seen anymore, he said, you know, I don't like a god that will disappear. فَلَمَّا رَأَى الْقَمَرَ بَازِغًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي, when he saw the moon up in the sky glowing, he said, this is my Lord, where there was a bunch of people worshipping the moon. فَلَمَّا أَكَلَ قَالَ لَإِنْ لَمْ يَهْدِنِي رَبِّي لَأَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ, my Lord isn't there to guide me, not be misled. So what kind of a God is this? It's there sometimes and it's not there sometimes. فَلَمَّا رَأَى الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي هَذَا أَكْبَرُ فَلَمَّا أَثَلَتْ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ, when he saw the sun out in the sky, He said, this is my Lord. This is larger than all the others. It's got a lot more light. This is my Lord. When it went down, he said, none of what you're worshipping makes sense. I'm not associated with what you guys are putting beside God. إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Basically, I believe only in one God. I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is his approach to the people? Approach is reason. Okay. He doesn't come and say, okay, you all have to follow me. If you don't, you're going to be punished. No. That's not how it works. He starts explaining to them. Says, what are these things that you guys are worshipping? This is wrong. It doesn't make sense. Think about it. You made this yourself. Push it back, it'll fall, it'll break. It doesn't have any power to save itself. How could it save you? How could it help you? The sun doesn't make sense. How could the sun guide you? How could the moon do that? How could these stars do that? And these two prophets, now in Prophet Ibrahim's story, we don't see any punishment of the people like we do some of the other prophets, like Prophet Nuh. After he explained the message, he reasoned with them for 950 years, okay, and they didn't accept. Punishment came only the few that had accepted the call, were on the ark, and the rest got drowned. And in the story, it says even when he was on the ark and the rain was coming, okay, the flood was coming, they were actually in water, he still tried to save some people like his son, and they still rejected. Okay. He asked his son, but you know, take my hand, accept the message, and he said, no, I'll go to some mountain or something, that'll save me. Up to that point, they were trying to guide the people. Okay, that was the point. Punishment was not the point. It wasn't like Allah sent them to give the punishment. No, Allah sent them to give the guidance. When they didn't accept, not that they didn't accept, they rejected, okay, this is what happened. Another interesting story is the story of Yunus, Prophet Yunus. Okay? He preached to his people. He explained what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to explain. The people didn't accept. So he called for the punishment. He asked Allah to punish the people. Okay. So Allah said, okay, the punishment will be coming. We'll warn your people. So he went and said, oh, the punishment is coming, and he left. As soon as he saw the signs of the punishment, he left. Before receiving the orders from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to leave, he left. You know what happened? Someone else in that community that had been guided and accepted the message of Prophet Yunus, he started telling the people, he said, look at those clouds, that's the punishment that Yunus had promised. He said, that God is going to be sending. You still have time, it's not here. You can ask for forgiveness, you can accept the message, and you'll be saved. And they did that. They started repenting, started asking for forgiveness. The punishment went away. And it was actually Yunus that was punished because of that. Allah punished him because it was his responsibility to do that. He left his responsibility. So the point wasn't to punish the people, the point was to guide the people. When he didn't do his job completely to guide the people and he left them for punishment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished him for doing that. Before the coming of Prophet Musa, alayhi wa alihi wa salam, We don't see too much any traces of any fights or any battles between the believers and the non-believers. Okay? All the stories that we have are like this. When the Quran narrates them, the Prophet comes, he explains the message, he tells people what you're doing is wrong, okay, doesn't make sense, should be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created you, all the message, you shouldn't be doing what you're doing, you shouldn't be stealing, you shouldn't be killing, you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that. They wouldn't accept, they would reject, and they would be punished. The people of Ad, Thamud, Madain, all these places, stories are in the Quran. This is what we find. We don't see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the believers, okay, to deal with the kuffar. Allah deals with the kuffar directly. Prophet Musa's time, let's read the story in the Holy Quran. This is one of the places. Prophet Musa's story has been mentioned the most in the Holy Quran. Different occasions, many, many, many different occasions, bits and pieces of it have been talked about in the Holy Quran. In Surah A'raf, verse 103, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the story saying, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَئِهِ فَظَلَمُوا بِهَا فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. After the other prophets, said, we sent Moses with the signs, with our signs to Pharaoh and his tribe and his people. فَظَلَمُوا بِهَا. They oppressed those signs. فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Now watch and see what the end of the people who are mufsid, who are corrupt, is. وَقَالَ مُوسَى يَا فِرْعَوْنُ إِنِّي رَسُولٌ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Moses said, O Pharaoh, I am the messenger of the Lord of the universe. حَقِيقٌ عَلَىٰ أَنْ لَا أَقُولَ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ. It is upon me that I say nothing on Allah except what is true. فَجِئْتُكُمْ بِبَيِّنَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَأَرْسِلْ مَعِيَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. I have come with proof from my Lord, from your Lord, so send with me my tribe, Bani Israel. قَالَ إِن كُنْتَ جِئْتَ بِآيَةٍ فَأْتِ بِهَا إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. If you've come with a sign, then show us if you're truthful. فَأَلْقَى عَصَاهُ فَإِذَا هِيَ ثُعْبَانٌ مُبِينٌ. He threw down his cane and it became a what do you call it? Thu'ban is dragon. وَنَجَعَ يَدَهُ فَإِذَا هِيَ بَيْضَاءُ لِلنَّاظِرِينَ. He took out his arm from his pocket and it started glowing. قَالَ الْمَلَأُ مِنْ قَوْمِ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّ هَذَا لَسَاحِرٌ عَلِيمٌ. They said, he's a witch. Okay. He's doing magic. He's a magician. يريد أن يخرجكم من أرضكم فماذا تأمرون. He wants to take you out of your land. He wants to take Bani Israel out of their lands. He wants to take the others out of their lands and kick them out. فماذا تأمرون. What do you say that we should do? قالوا أرجه وأخاه وأرسل في المدائن حاشرين. Say, okay, bring Musa and Harun and send people, or hold them right now, and send people to different cities. يأتوك بكل ساحر عليم. That they should gather all the different magicians that are around. وَجَاءَ السَّحَرَةُ فِرْعَوْنَ قَالُوا إِنَّا لَنَا لَأَجْرًا إِن كُنَّا نَحْنُ الْغَالِبِينَ. All the magicians came and said, are we going to be rewarded if we win over Musa? قَالَ نَعَمْ وَإِنَّكُمْ لَمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. Yes, you will be rewarded and you will become very close to me. قالوا يا موسى إما أن تلقي وإما أن نكون نحن الملقين. They said, Moses, will you start your magic, or should we? He said, you guys start. قال ألقوا فلما ألقوا سحروا أعين الناس واسترهبوهم وجاءوا بسحر عظيم. They threw the ropes and stuff and they started doing their little magic. It says they سحروا أعين الناس. Okay, they didn't do like real magic. There was they fooled the eyes of the people. They moved the ropes such that they thought there were snakes. سحروا أعين الناس واسترهبوهم وجاءوا بسحر عظيم. وأوحينا إلى موسى أن ألق عصاك. We revealed to Moses that he should throw his cane. فإذا هي تلقف ما يأفكون. It turned into a snake and it ate up all of the ropes and stuff. فوقع الحق وبطل ما كانوا يعملون. The truth was apparent, and what the falsehood in what they were doing came very visible. فغلبوا هنالك وانقلبوا صاغرين. They were belittled in that event. At this point, it says وألقي السحرة ساجدين. The magicians that had come to try to defeat the prophet, they realized that this is different. This is not fooling them. This is not moving ropes to try to make people think it's snakes. No, that stuff can't eat. They knew it. So they realized that this is something else. They fell into sujood. قالوا آمنا برب العالمين. They accepted the religion. They say, we believe in the Lord of the universe, رب موسى وهارون, the Lord of موسى وهارون. قال فرعون آمنتم به قبل أن آذن لكم. He said, how dare you do that? You believed in him, you accepted his call before I allowed you to do so. إن هذا لمكتم مسرتموه في المدينة. He couldn't take that. He said, no, this must have been a plot that you had designed, you and Moses together, that you said one of us goes and says that I'm the messenger and the other one we gather and we set this up, and then you want to show everyone that yeah, the magicians have accepted his call. لأقطعن أيديكم وأرجلكم من خلاف ثم لأصلبنكم أجمعين. I'll cut a hand and a leg of yours and then I will hang you if you don't reject what you just accepted. قالوا إنا إلى ربنا منقلبون. We've made our decision. We've turned towards our Lord. وما تنقم منا إلا أن آمنا بآيات ربنا لما جاءتنا. He's taking revenge from us because we accepted the signs of our Lord when they came to us. ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وتوفنا مسلمين. Oh Allah, give us patience and help us that we leave this world as Muslimin, people that have accepted. Inshallah, I'll let the rest of this story continue the explanation tomorrow night. What we got here, trying to explain the method of the prophets. The two prophets that we did before that, we saw that they explained by reasoning, through reason, their message. And at the end, when they rejected, they were punished. And inshallah, on Prophet Musa, we will explain the rest of it tomorrow. Let's pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us prepare for the coming of the 12th Imam, so when he comes, we won't be the ones that reject. Like sometimes you're not even prepared. You haven't thought of it beforehand. But the hearts are ready, and when they see the signs, they accept, like the magicians in this story. They weren't prepared. They didn't have any plans or anything. Let's pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us so that inshallah we are prepared. It's easy to say at this point, so easy. And you say, yeah, if the 12th Imam comes, you know, I'm praying for him every day in my prayers. I'm asking Allah to hasten his reappearance. Of course I'm going to be on his side. The interesting story of an individual about Karbala. Okay. He was saying that, of course, if I was there, I would be on the side of Imam Hussein. Say salawat, please. The belief that I have, the practices that I do, of course I've been on the side of Imam Hussein. You know what happened? He had a dream. He said he went to bed. It was a discussion amongst the people that he was saying this. Some were saying that, are we sure we're going to be on the side of Imam Hussein? If we were in Karbala, it's like, of course, yeah, for sure. So that night he went to sleep, he saw a dream. He saw that he's on the plains of Karbala. It's Ashura. The battle has started. The Imam is standing. And the Imam told him to go and fight. He was on the side of the Imam. The Imam told him to go and fight. He said, okay. When he started his move, he was walking in front of the Imam. He saw an arrow coming. He ducked. He looked back. He saw the arrow hit the Imam in the heart. He got up and started crying. Not like that. It's not as easy. I'm not being tested right now. When the test comes, when you see that arrow coming, and you know the Imam is standing right behind you, would you be willing to stand there and take that arrow? Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. صلى الله عليك يا مظلوم يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا مظلوم يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت فنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار فلا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين عن بيع عاشوراء. There was a companion that did that. When the fourth time came, one of the companions told the Imam, the time has come to pray. Will we pray? The Imam said, yes, may Allah consider you one of the musallim. So they set up to pray. They told the enemy that we want to pray. They said, no, we won't stop the battle. So the Imam took one of his companions, a few of them, he asked if some would stand in front so they can pray. One of his companions was standing in front of the Imam.
The enemy came to hit the Imam. They threw arrows. He tried to catch them all with his body. They threw spears and he caught them with his body. He kept himself up right until the Imam finished the prayer. As soon as the Imam finished the prayer, he fell. He looked at the Imam and said, "Are you satisfied now?" Allah, give us the opportunity to have faith like that. So when the Imam comes, we don't duck, but we stay on his side and obey his commands. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us be steadfast on his path and to follow his prophets and his progeny. And we ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins and our parents and all those who've taught us in Islam of their sins, inshaAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give good health and prolong the life of all the scholars, the Maraja, especially our leader. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam. Let's do Fatiha for the following. Brother Nizar Ali Akbar, Brother Nawab Begum, Sogra Begum, Zakiya Begum, Sayyid Hussein Sahida, and Moht Jafar Khoi. Inshallah, Surah Fatiha after a loud salawat, inshallah.